Hey, podcast friends. Mike here. How are you? I'm going to assume fine to great, somewhere in that range. Another quick questions today. Couple topics, one show, maybe a few. Who knows? We'll see how fast we go because it's been a bit and we've been getting to a bunch of little things you've been sending in. So thank you. Today starts here. Original Tommy's since 1946 in Los Angeles. Chili and burgers and hot dogs and fries. And we're here because if you're listening to this the week that we post it, it was National Cheeseburger Day a few days ago. The next day was Talk Like a Pirate Day, which may explain some things to some very confused people. And this weekend, Quesadilla Day. You see where I'm going with this? Who comes up with these? And are they, like, always ready to celebrate something?
My problem is my head is so much in 2023, I forget what the day actually is.
I would like you to meet Holly McGuire,
editor-in-chief of Chase's Calendar of Events.
Would you believe I found the random holiday people for you? Of course I did. You asked. So Chase is kind of the semi-official place for all of these holidays, quote-unquote, and also events, commemorations.
It has historical anniversaries, birthdays, moon phases, all the state fairs.
And here's the story. There are only so many actual holidays in this country, but Congress was always being asked to commemorate or declare something. Eventually, it got to the point of being like, okay, everybody, cut it out. We can't spend all of our time on this. We actually have to argue about laws and that kind of thing. So Chase's took over. Big book, every day, multiple things. The day we talked,
it's Rat Catcher's Day. A day to recognize rat catchers. We thank them for their service.
If you had salute to rat catchers on your bingo card for the show today, congratulations, you've won.
It's National Hot Fudge Sunday Day and also National Wine and Cheese Day.
This is Marlo Anderson, nationaldaycalendar.com. His story starts with Popcorn Day. He said, popcorn's great. I like the day, but when did we start doing this? Why did it happen? It's probably in the book, but years ago, nothing online. So he started a blog.
Some media started to follow. Some more media started to follow. Some media started to use it as fill-ins in the mornings. Kind of became a thing rather quickly.
And that kind of hits on it, right? As a news person here, a lot of these are used by the morning shows for the kicker segments. It's the fun stuff towards the end of the newscast because it's easy pickings. There's always something. A producer likes it. And there's also a conversation that can get started, or you can book somebody. And marketers love it because they can haul in a truckload of avocados and make guacamole on camera. Donut shops can say donut day, free donuts, and everyone's going to tweet about it. So that's how it happened. And I hear some of you saying, these are lame because it's just to get us to buy stuff. Again, I get it. But these two say they like to think of it this way.
When it's National Pizza Day, it's a reason to call friends or family and get together. It always seems to be that we have to have a reason to do it.
Yeah, there are always going to be people who roll their eyes, but, you know, we're just having fun. So that's fine with me.
Take, for example, Margarita Day. Were you and the coworkers or your friends actually planning on that Tuesday or Thursday or whenever it was to go out and get margaritas that night? No, but then one of you saw that it was Margarita Day and you thought, why not? And you had fun because you had margaritas. One more thing. Not everyone or everything just gets in. They get a whole bunch of people applying for days each year. They reject a whole bunch. Chase's has a whole process. They need to see some sort of history or some group actually celebrating this already. National Day Calendar, same thing. Let's say I'm the snow cone lobby and I want snow cone day. How do I get in?
I love this already. When there is no National Snow Cone
There's
Day.
No, I hit on something. Pretty, if you're listening, Snow
you
Cone
You might have
people,
hit on something here. Right?
Now's the time.
Give us a date. I mean, give us a reason why it's supposed to be like July 18th. Is this the day that the snow cone first originated? Is this the day that this person had this idea and crushed up some ice? And that's what we love.
So there you have it. Now, we've talked a lot about the food holidays. So what do we need to do? Yeah. Brush our teeth. This one's for Kirk Boyce in Buena Park, Orange County, if you're not from around here. He wants to know, how long should you keep a toothbrush? I'll take the next step on this one, too. How dirty is that thing?
There's bacteria everywhere. Everywhere.
Including the brush. Dr. Kimberly Harms, years as a dentist, now known as the dental mediator. She says, hey, don't worry, because it's no worse than your mouth already is.
It's full of bacteria. It's bacteria everywhere in your mouth. When you brush your teeth, you're brushing off that sticky bacterial plaque.
Scrub the germs with the thing that might have germs on it. But hey, your body has good defenses, so it's gonna be all right. as long as you do brush.
The plaque, that plaque, that sticky stuff on your teeth is actually a colony of all kinds of bacteria sticking together. When you ingest any type of carbohydrate, that bacteria, they eat the carbohydrate. And what happens
is they create acid, and acid not good for your teeth. See how this works? You brush them twice every 24 hours because that's kind of the clock that these little guys are on. And that's where that comes from. Morning and night is just for routine building.
You need to replace your toothbrush when the bristles become a little bit flayed, you know, when they kind of start to flay out, when they're no longer straight. And that's just because they're not as efficient. You need to use a soft toothbrush because you do need those toothbrushes to bend just a little bit to get underneath your gums. Usually it's about 3 months. For most people, it's about 3 months. Then it's time to replace your toothbrush.
You like electric? She says you don't need it if you work at being good with a normal brush, like actually work at it. But
power toothbrushes are sometimes helpful because we get a little lazy.
Yeah, about that. When we're in the chair, hypothetically, and you say, have you been good at flossing? And I say, yeah, this year better than ever. But really, I just stepped it up over the last like 4 to 6 days. Can you tell?
Yes. yes and no. Now, there are some people that just genetically, you know, they can get away with stuff.
But most of us are not that lucky. What do you think? Time for one more? Should we go for three? We've got a couple more minutes. Let's do it. For Marvin, who has a long drive, he commutes back and forth Palmdale to West LA and was wondering, how do the map apps, you know, Apple and Google, do the ETA? Because they are pretty spot on.
Apple Maps has been around for 10 years. I want to say Google Maps has been for 14. So they've had a lot of practice and a lot of data.
Mike Worthley, AppleInsider.com.
It's very close to real time. It is not actually real time, but it is very close. Neither company is taking, like Joe Smith, just took 3 hours and 10 minutes to make this trip from exactly where you left 3 hours ago. What it's doing is taking aggregate data. It's taking the last 1,800 people or whatever huge number that's going to be.
Is it watching you directly? No. Indirectly and periodically? Yeah, it is. Think of the view from an airplane, like our traffic reports on the radio station every 10 minutes on the fives. That's what it's doing.
Your phone, in association with 800 people you don't know, that, you know, you're never going to know, and Apple doesn't know about and doesn't care about, and Google doesn't know their name and doesn't care about them, are on this highway stretch that normally you should be screaming along 75 miles an hour or so, but all of these phones are only moving like 30 miles an hour. So it will say, here's a jam up.
And when it comes to that little number in the corner, the ETA?
The devices will look ahead. It will see what's up on the road ahead of you. So like if you've ever been on a long drive and it says like 14 hours, but for like an hour, that doesn't reduce, it's because there's traffic up ahead, and Apple predicts, or Google will predict, that traffic will still be there.
And of course, it also knows your speed and where you are on the larger map. So for those of you who are like me and see it as more of a challenge, like you're going to try to race the thing, you can't. It's going to adjust. You could race MapQuest, but you can't race this.
You can absolutely race that printout of MapQuest you've got in your passenger seat, but racing this, you might win. But only because the system's designed so you feel better if you arrive sooner.
That was a rumor a while back with a couple of these, that they'd be a couple minutes off, so you did feel better when you got to someplace. That's it for today. We have arrived at our final destination. We'll talk next week. New episodes on Thursdays. This comes from KNX News 97.1 FM in Los Angeles. Send me more questions. I've got questions at odyssey.com.